Okay. Right, we'll be in Colossians again. This study has been a real blessing. Going verse by verse, we see so much in the text. Tonight, the name of the message is Strengthened by God. Strengthened by God. Last week, we were in verse 10. This week, we'll be in verse 11, but I would like to read both verses because they're interconnected. Verse 10 says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." So last week we looked at walking worthy of the Lord. Walking worthy of the Lord. And we saw that we could not do this in our own strength. The Holy Spirit must empower us, must enable us to walk worthy of the Lord, to walk in His strength. And we have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, we must be born again. We must be born again. We looked at how, now that we are saved, we live a life, we seek to live a life which glorifies God, which is the opposite of how we used to live. Because we used to live for self. That's all that mattered. Now that's not what matters. We seek to glorify God in Christ. We seek to have God glorified. We seek to have the gospel go forward with power if he's so pleased. And so it's the complete opposite of how we used to live. And as I said, the reason we read verse 10 with tonight's text is because we'll see how they're interconnected together. Now we've learned so far that Paul, while laying the foundation of the Colossians being saved in Christ and Him alone, and that Christ has all the preeminence, he is here showing us that the power to live the Christian life does not come from us, but it comes from God the Holy Spirit enabling us to live that life. And we're going to see that even more tonight. And while he's doing this, while he's laying the foundation to God being all-powerful, because he's the one who can strengthen us, he's the one who can give us knowledge through the Scriptures, well, him being all-powerful and working all things, while he's teaching us and having us grow and learn in grace, he's working out all things for our good and for his glory. And his will is being accomplished in the whole world. It's incredible. He's a sovereign, almighty God. Now, while Paul's laying this framework, it's basically he's laying the foundation. I used to be in construction. We laid a foundation down, and then they built up the house, and then they came in and they did the rest to it. But he's laying that foundation. If the foundation's wrong, then the whole house is going to be a mess. But if that foundation is firm and strong, so he's laying the foundation. It's firm in Christ and Him alone. And while he's doing that, he's attacking the error of the Gnostics. He's attacking the error that the false teachers have bought in. He's attacking the works mongers. And he's showing the Colossians and us, 2,000 years later, that God has all power. That he's absolutely supreme. That he's preeminent. That there's no one, he seeks no counsel with anyone. He's God Almighty. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. And remember that this is a continuation of Paul's prayer for the Colossians. It's a continuation. He's still praying for the Colossians. Paul, having prayed for these dear believers in Christ that they would increase in the knowledge of Christ. Look at verse 10. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He continues now. He continues that they would put into practice in their everyday lives resting and rejoicing in Christ, in seeking to glorify God in their lives. And notice, he's also combating Gnosticism even here. Right here. As it's not man who holds this secret knowledge, but God who must reveal it in verse 10. Remember, we looked at that last week. God must reveal it. He must reveal it. And now he prays that God Almighty, the King of the universe, would strengthen these Colossians, with these Colossian saints, that they be strengthened and enabled to put into practice what they've learned. And beloved, we must stress that we cannot do this unless the Holy Spirit enables us. And we're going to look at this. The Greek wording underlining two words in this text is incredible. We're going to start right now. See, it says strengthen with all might, right? The underlying Greek word means this: to make strong, strength, power, and this little word called ability. That Greek word for strengthen means to make strong, strength, power, and ability. So what does that mean? That means that there's no room for our works. There's no room for our works. We flee to Christ. Why? Because we've been given the power to flee to Christ. Think of this. Strength, power, and ability, the Greek word says. Now we've been born again. Those of us who believe are born again by the Holy Ghost. But the underlying Greek word is strength, power, and ability. So think on this. There's no inherent power in man, right? But there's power in God, isn't there? Strength, power, and ability. Think of this. We have no strength to come to God on our own. Therefore, in ourselves, we have no strength to live a Christian life. On our own. But God gives a believer strength to do this. Paul's praying for this. Paul's praying for this for the Colossians. We have no power to come to God on our own, right? Therefore, in ourselves, we have no strength in our natural state. And as Christians, we have no strength to live a Christian life on our own. But God gives us the believer strength to do this. To make strong, strength, power, and ability. We have no ability to come to God on our own. Therefore, every believer has no ability to live a Christian life on his own. So we've looked at strength, power, and now ability. But God gives us strength and continues to give us strength all through our pilgrimage on this world. And the Greek word here, this is neat too. The Greek word is a present passive participle, which are formed only from imperfect verbs. Since they, listen to this, they refer to an activity which is currently taking place or which repeatedly takes place. If you're saved, God is continuously giving you strength and ability. And we're going to see later on in the text, how that applies even more too to us and what happens in our lives as believers. So Christ saves us and then he gives us strength and ability to carry on. We are empowered with all strength, ability, and power during trials in situations in our lives, and this is a continuous action in the Christian life. God is continuously doing this for us because we have no strength on our own. We have no ability on our own. Therefore, it's all God's work. Now, I'm not saying we just sit back and say, okay, well then we just sit back and do nothing. No. No. The love of Christ constrains us, right? But this is speaking of a trial, or we're going to see later on, long-suffering, dealing with people. So trials and dealing with people, God is continuously strengthening us and giving us strength. So in our own strength and power and ability, we can do nothing. Look again at our text. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Beloved, we must be strengthened with all might according to God's power. We must be. God's glorious power. We find our strength, right, and our power in Christ. It's not in our own strength. Philippians says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. So in circumstances that we go through, in trials that we go through, in dealings with people that we go through, it's God who strengthens us. Because we would be crushed under it. In our own strength. And in our own doing. Remember what Paul says? And think of this as we pilgrimage through this world, right? What happens? We grow in grace. We grow in the grace and knowledge and of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And what does that do? That strengthens us, doesn't it? It strengthens us. We hear the gospel preached. It strengthens us. We hear about our mighty Savior who can do it all. It strengthens us. I'm a weak person. I need help. I need Christ to help me. I do. He's my Savior. He's my everything. He's brought me to a point where I know that I can't do anything on my own in the sense of my salvation. And when a trial comes, I'll fall to pieces if He doesn't sustain me. He keeps us. He keeps His people. Those He saves. Remember, I always say saving grace is keeping grace. He keeps us. He strengthens us. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within the believer. And through every trial and temptation, we lay our heart to Christ. Think of when a trial comes up or something comes up. What, we flee to Christ, don't we? Remember what Paul said? He said, my grace is sufficient. Or the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Right? Paul wanted the thorn removed. Turn, if you would, there. We're turning there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 9. Let's turn there. Take a look. It's worth looking. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7 and 9. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Remember, Paul was caught up to the third heaven. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above the measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He prayed the Lord take it away. But the Lord's answer to him was this, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now Paul was able to respond, look at Paul's response, and this is only by the Holy Spirit, beloved, that he can respond this way. He's strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God working in him and enabling him to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me? That would not be an easy thing to say, and it's not an easy thing for us to say, is it, when we're going through trial? I've noticed when Vicki and I go through some stuff or a situation will come up, one thing we always say to each other, and it's really comforting, is, well, that didn't catch God by surprise. Because it caught us by surprise, but it never catches God by surprise. And remember that when something comes up, it never catches God by surprise. He already knows. He's purposed it and planned it for our good and for His glory. But I always notice that there's a time when kind of just you get anxious. You do. We're human, aren't we? But then there's always a peace that comes over us as believers, isn't it? Where we just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust You through this. That's the Holy Spirit enabling us. Because that's not natural for us to do that. But He enables us to just rest in Christ and to say, Lord, whatever Your will is, whatever Your will is, I'll bow my knee to it. And this is marvelous grace, beloved. This is grace and strength to make it through this world. Through this world of trials and tribulations and woes. And this is the grace of God in Christ. We're strengthened by God. Look back at our text again. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now here's an interesting note, that the Greek word for might here is defined as this. Do you remember what strengthened was, right? Well, this word is defined strength, power, and ability. So again, we have no ability. And what they were saying in the Greek was that it's two words derived from the same stem word. But they have the same kind of meanings. We have no ability or strength without God the Holy Spirit empowering us. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. And according to His glorious power, notice who the source of all power is. Notice who the source of all strength is. It's God. It's not us. So all those religious folks trying to drum up things and trying to live a Christian life and trying to do all this in their own strength, they're going to fail every time. And I remember in religion, that's what I did. I felt worse. I could never measure up. I kept falling and failing. Now, we already know we can't do anything on our own. But now I know that was all just fruitless. Fruitless labors. Now, should we seek a life to glorify God and not live for ourselves? Absolutely. Absolutely. We should. The love of Christ constrains us from sin now. Absolutely. We don't want to do the things that we used to do. But we know now that God, the Holy Spirit, empowers us. Strengthened with all might implies that the believers are weak in themselves and insufficient to do or bear anything of themselves. We stand in need of strength from above. Even of all might, of all kinds of spiritual might and strength through trials and temptations and tribulations, and just dealing with life. I need strength just dealing with life, right? Sometimes it's tough. But oh, my King. He's the one I look to. He's my strength. He's my shield. And I have a hope that I never had before. And it's not based upon my doing, but it's based upon what Christ has done for me. Oh, it's wonderful. So when a trial comes up, I flee to Christ. Now, I might get a little wigged out at first. I might get a little anxious, but I'm always like, oh Lord, please forgive me. How quickly we forget, eh? See, we're real, aren't we? We struggle. We really do. But we are in need of strength from above. Turn, if you would, to Zechariah chapter 4. We are not saved by our own might. We are not saved by our own power. But we're saved by the power of God in Christ. I was thinking about this text here today, walking back from lunch, and it just kind of struck me. I thought, wow, there it is. There it is. Look at this in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, look at this, not by might nor power. Now, think back, those of us who came out of religion. We was trying by might and by our own power to please God, weren't we? Not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh my, saith the Lord of hosts, God. Oh, born again by the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Made willing to flee to Christ. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. Oh, think of that, when we have a great trial come before us. A great mountain of a trial. The Lord's going to make it a plain. Oh, my. And think of the mountain of sin that we had. Think of the mountain of sin. It's made a plain. Gone. Gone, beloved, by the precious blood of Christ. Every sin. Oh, heaven forgiven you. All your trespasses and sins in Christ. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. That's Christ. The headstone. Oh my. We are not saved by our own might or power or ability, but we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and we flee to Christ. We flee to Christ. We've cast our works aside. Because we know they were filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. And we flee to Christ. Not by might nor power. Not by your doing or your ability. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. What a wonderful God we have. What an absolutely wonderful God. And this is why we cry out. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all His doing. It's all His doing. Let's go back to our text. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And here in our text it says, according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. According to the sovereign God who rules the universe's power. Not according to our supposed attainments, but strengthened by His glorious power. His glorious power. Strengthened. And how do we find strength? We find strength in looking to Christ, don't we? Strengthened by His finished work. That when He cried, it is finished. Everything God demanded for my sins is paid for. Paid for. And we glory in. We glory in He who has paid all the debt that our sin demanded. All of it. Paid the debt for our sins by the shedding of His own precious blood. And someone says, how can a man do that? Because He was the God-man. God incarnate in the flesh. God shedding His own blood. 100% man and 100% God. And perishing, dying on the cross for the sins of His people. What mercy. What boundless mercy. Who can compare this? No one. It's incomparable to anything on this earth. Mercy. Undeserved mercy. undeserved mercy, but given to believers, given to His people in Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all of the Lord. And what a blessing to be living upon Him in whom all salvation is found, in whose person the whole church, think of this, in whose person the whole church, all the elect of all the ages, are looked at as complete. Complete. Oh my. And we are upheld and we are strengthened by the everlasting arms of God our Savior. Glorious here, used with power, is strengthened in might in the Greek. It speaks of the Lord's majesty. It speaks of His majesty, His sovereign power, His deity. We are strengthened by the power of God through trials and through dealings with life. We are strengthened by the power of God. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Look at Romans chapter 8. We are victorious, beloved, because of His strength and His power. Because of His strength and His power, we are victorious, we who believe. Look at this. I have to start in verse 33 because I absolutely love this verse. But look at this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall bring any charge to God's elect? Who shall bring any charge to one whom Christ has died for? Now we're sinners, aren't we? We're sinners. Brother, who shall bring any charge to you? Because you're in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Why? Because it's God who justifies you, brother. And you too. Isn't it wonderful? It's God who justifies us. It's God who justifies us. Who is he that condemneth? Can anyone condemn you, brother man? No, you're in Christ. Eh? Who shall bring any charge to God's elect? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. He is risen. And we know that Scripture declares that He's risen for our justification. The sinless one died in the room and place of sinners. And He's risen. He is risen. He's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. He rules in majesty right now. Who also maketh intercession for us. He's our mediator between us and God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But remember I said earlier that we will have the victory. We're victorious. Look at this. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh, victorious because of His strength. And notice it's in Him. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Now, can anything separate the believer from the love of God? This is the fallacy of those who say that someone can be saved and jump out on their own, or someone can be saved and lost. Beloved, if I'm in Christ, I'm secure in Him. I'm secure in Christ. I'm saved and bought, purchased. When you purchase something, you own it, don't you? Christ has purchased us from the pawn shop of this world. He's redeemed us. You go to a pawn shop, and if you put something in there, you can redeem it later on. He's redeemed us, beloved. He's purchased us with His own precious blood. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in, here it is, in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in Christ. It's only in Christ. The only reason I have this confidence is because of what He's done for me. Because I have no ability to save myself. I have no power to save myself. And I have no strength to save myself. Oh, but I know one who can save all who come to Him. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 37 again in light of what we've read. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He strengthens us. He gives us strength and power to make it through whatever comes our way. And this ties right into what we're looking at in Colossians. Let's look at our text again. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, we need to be strengthened in various situations that come our way. We need to be strengthened in love. We need to be strengthened in joy. We need to be strengthened in peace. Oh, we need peace, don't we? We need to be strengthened in hope. Where does the believer find all this? In Christ. In Christ, in Him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. There was a time when we looked to ourselves for those things, but not anymore. We look to the great King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him alone. And think of this, too. We're strengthened when we listen to the gospel preached. We're strengthened when we read Scripture. We're strengthened when we pray. And when we look to Christ and Him alone. And this strengthening comes from God the Holy Spirit in us. And it's not of our own doing. It's not of our own producing. Remember? The fruit of the Spirit. He works it in us. He works it in us. Now the Gnostics promised secret knowledge. They promised secret knowledge. Deeper knowledge. They promised. Look what Paul says here. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So these Gnostics, they promised secret knowledge, deeper knowledge. They also promised, I learned this today, they promised a deeper experience with God. If the Colossians, if they just follow their teachings. Well, nowadays we have, if you just buy this book, books are being sold by the millions. I went on a so-called Christian site today. It was full of junk. But I just happened to look around to some of the book titles because I was putting this message together. And I thought, you know, it would be relevant for me to look at what's being put out there. Oh my gosh. How to live a victorious Christian life. How to experience God even more. How to do this. How to do that. Do, 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 do. How to experience a deeper walk. We just need to read the book, don't we? Now, I have commentaries and stuff that I read and study, but they're just tools. They're just tools. Brother Chet, you have a toolbox. My study with my library, my books are tools. One's a hammer, one's a screwdriver, one's a wrench. There's some nuts and bolts in there. They're tools to put together messages. But this is the most important book right here. I've talked to several grace preachers. I asked them, can you recommend some books for me to get? They said, a lot of them said, well, I don't read a lot of commentaries anymore. I just read the Scriptures. That's marvelous. Oh, marvelous. But they're out there. You get all these, and we have the same thing today as these Gnostics. Books being sold. Just read this. basically, just give me this, and I'll tell you how to experience this. It's the same thing. Nothing's changed. We're making merchandise. Oh, and all of this can be found studying this precious word, listening to the gospel preached, resting and trusting in Christ through our daily walk in this world. It's a pilgrimage. We're pilgrims, sojourners, going through this world of woe. And it's this book that brings us strength by God, the Holy Spirit, illuminating the Scriptures for us and teaching us, strengthening us, giving us power to continue. Oh, I know because I remember how it was before and how it is now. Oh, and it's all in Christ. It's all in Him. So once again, though, Paul is heading off an error here by praying to the one who can give all strength and power to the Colossian saints. He's heading off again. Do you notice the last few verses we've been looking at? Even in his prayer, he's praying that God would give them strength, that God would increase their knowledge. All the things the Gnostics are saying they can do. But he's saying, no, it's all in God. It's all in Christ. This is where it's found. Not in some book to tell you how to do it, or not in some guy who's got the special teaching only. No, if someone says that, run from him. Run from him. Oh, my. We are taught by the Holy Spirit of God as we read Scripture. And He strengthens us. And illuminates things that we don't. How many times have we read and went, I've never seen that before. We've read the passage 50 times. I've never seen. That's the Holy Spirit illuminating the Scriptures for us and teaching us. Showing. And what does it usually do? It builds us up, doesn't it? It strengthens us. It gives us hope. Oh. And we're excited and want to tell someone else. Oh. It's wonderful. And this can all be found in studying the Scriptures, listening to the gospel preached, resting and trusting in Christ and Him alone all through our lives. We need God's mighty power to continue and to preserve despite the suffering, the opposition, the trials, and the woes of this world, which leads right into our next point. Look, it says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Unto all patience and long-suffering. Notice unto all patience and long-suffering. Now, the believer in Christ experiences this power from this verse in two different ways here. The power from God is manifested in patient endurance and long-suffering. We are given patience. We are given patience to deal with trials. We're given patience to deal with trials. Remember, like I said, when a trial comes up at first, we kind of like, we all do it. And then what happens? We get a peace. My God will take care of me. He'll take care of me. Oh. So we're given patience to deal with trials and circumstances which come up in our lives. We look to Christ and Him alone. Well, the storm is brewing all around us. It's just swirling around us. And we have a peace that passes all understanding because we're looking to Him. We're looking to Him. And we know the difference because there was a time when we didn't look to Him. And oh, the peace we have now, it passes all understanding. And it keeps our hearts and minds focused upon Christ and Him alone. We're strengthened by God to look above the storm or trial to Jesus Christ our Lord. And believers, Christians, are by God's glorious power strengthened to endure hardship and to show patience to others. To show patience to others. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Now, long-suffering in our text, so patience is given to us to deal with trials. Long-suffering is given to us to deal with people. And think of that as we go to Colossians chapter 3. And whenever you're dealing with people, because there's difficult folks, remember how long-suffering God was with us before He saved us. Remember how long-suffering He was. Look at this. It makes it easier for us to be long-suffering with others if we remember how long-suffering God was with us. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So this is for Christians, right? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Same word is used in 1:11. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against thee, look at, here's the key right here. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. There's the key. Not always easy to use that key, is it? But we are to be long-suffering with people. I had a guy a couple days ago. He bought something up just to try to get me riled up. And I looked at him and I laughed. And I looked at the other guys that were sitting with me and I said, he's just trying to get me riled up. I'm not gonna. And now I've heard from other folks that he's that type of person, that kind of edgy, kind of likes to argue and debate and fight. I don't have nothing to do with that. No. That's how I used to be. Before, I'd go right in there. No. I don't debate the truth anymore. I just proclaim it. I don't have time to argue and debate with people. No. And even if someone's being difficult with you, just be long-suffering with me. It's not always easy, I know. But we ought to. And just remember how much God's forgiven you in Christ. And like I say, it doesn't always make it easy, but it makes it easier in a sense to bear with the circumstance or the person. We're to be patient and gentle and kind, overlooking the faults of others. The Greek word for long suffering back in our text in Colossians chapter 1, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. The Greek definition of long suffering speaks of this: a slowness of avenging injuries. We're not to be quick to strike back out at people. Scripture does tell us not to render evil for evil, right? So we're to have a slowness of avenging injuries. Forbearance is the other Greek word. Definition. Forbearance. And then this is the third underlying meaning. Having mercy on people who have wronged us. Is that not what Christ has done for us? Oh my. And the question could come up, well, why should we be like that? Back to verse 13 in chapter 3, I'll just read it. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also. Now we are especially with brethren to do that too. Let it go. Let it go. Be quick to forgive. Mercy. What have we received from God in Christ? Mercy, mercy, mercy. Amen. We don't get what we deserve. And God is very long-suffering with us, isn't He? Oh, but when God strengthens us to be more long-suffering, we're not so easily be offended either. We're not so easily be offended, and we'll be careful not to offend others too. We'll be careful not to offend others. And how true is this? And how true is this? The question comes up, is this not how brotherly love works, isn't it? Oh, Brother Matt, you brought up that comment the other day. We're blood brothers. Blood brothers in Christ. That's really what we all are in Christ. We who believe, we're blood brothers in Christ. We've been forgiven all our sins. So if a believer has a quarrel with another believer, I'll be quick to patch it up. And even if that person doesn't reach out to you, be quick to forgive them. Because Nothing worse than holding on to something and that root of bitterness gets a hold of you and just chew you right up from the inside. I know, I've been there. Oh, we need to be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. But only God can give us the power to be long-suffering. Right? And to be patient. And it's all by God's glorious power. His Spirit working in us will enable us to walk in this manner. Number one, to walk worthy of the Lord that we saw in verse 10. Unto all pleasing. And number two, His glorious power will enable us to be patient in trials and to be long-suffering with others. Is this not true? The more that we depend, the more that we're strengthened, the more that we depend upon God, the more we see our need for that dependence. Is it not so with you, beloved? The more we see our need, the more we see our dependence upon our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the last part of this verse, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Oh boy. Yeah. I remember hearing a preacher say one time, no one likes trials and tribulations. But Scripture says with joyfulness. Think of this. It's true heartfelt joy in the Lord. It's when all the storm can be swirling around us and we still have the joy of the Lord in our heart. We still have that peace that passes all understanding. And it's only in Christ. And it's only because He's strengthening us. Because if we didn't have Christ, boy, and that trial comes up, what happens? Oh, boy. We're all over the board. Eh? But we can rejoice in Christ. How can it say with joyfulness? Well, think of this. Whenever you go through a trial and a tribulation, and Brother Mill, you see the hand of providence in that, don't you? You see God working in your life. And it brings us joy and peace. Because we know that no matter what we're going through, He's guiding us. And He's directing us. And He's going to carry us through that. He's going to carry us through. And one day, we're going to cross that river. And we're going to be with Him. So we can rejoice in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is joy under pressure. And joy through a trial. And one commentator said, this is one of the marvels of God's work in His people. This is one of the marvels of God's work in His people, that we can have joy under pressure. And that we can have joy through a trial. Because it's not natural, is it? It's not natural for us to have joy and through a trial or through a tribulation. But oh, this is a work of God in His people. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to close pretty soon here. Philippians chapter 4. Now this little portion that I'm going to take you to, Paul is writing from a Roman prison cell. And it's not like the jails we have today. It's like a dungeon, probably. There's probably rats scurrying around. And look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. He's in a prison, remember. But he sees God's providential hand at work. And he says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He's in prison. He's probably in chains. They usually chain them up back then. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now we see why he could write in Colossians with joyfulness. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now the unregenerate man cannot enter into this joy. He doesn't know what it's like. And instead of rejoicing in the sovereign power of God, most murmur over every little bump in the road or every little wave in the sea. And I know, I was there. That's how I was. But God's people are strengthened, not by our own power, not by our own works, not by our own ability, but by God the Holy Spirit. We are strengthened to endure hardships and trials when they come our way with joyfulness. And this is how we should pray for others too. This is how we should pray for our brethren. When I say let's pray for one another, we ought to pray that for one another. We ought to pray that for the other preachers and the other saints and other churches too. Oh, that God would give them strength and power to endure hardships with joyfulness. This is how we should pray for ourselves. Oh, that God would give us strength. Oh, that God would give us strength. That we would glorify Him with joyfulness. This should be our desire, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, His revealed will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you not hunger and thirst after righteousness? Oh, we do, don't we? Did we before the Lord saved us? No. But all the Holy Spirit drew us to Christ and showed us our need, and we fled Him. See, not only does He enable us through our Christian walk, but He's the one who enabled us to flee to Christ. He's the one who strengthened us to flee to Christ. He's the one who gave us the ability to flee to Christ. Oh, that God would grant you faith to believe. Oh, if you don't know Him, that God would grant you faith, that you'd flee to Christ. Oh, and we know that we cannot do these things on our own. We have no strength and no ability. So what do? We're quick to give God all the glory, aren't we? Give Him all the glory, beloved. I'll see you when it's time.